This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Les, please dig me out of this. We have to talk about something that's solemn here because Frank Robinson, an all-time legend, passed away yesterday. 83 years old, was the only man to be an MVP in both the AL and the NL. And to talk with us about it, the legendary self-proclaimed voice of truth and reason, Les Levine joins us on the show. Hello, Les.
Oh, good. I got on the last show.
This could be it.
Les Levine on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tim Kirkjian said that he's one of the most underrated baseball players in Major League Baseball history. Would you agree with Tim Kirkjian when we talk about Frank Robinson?
Kenny, I totally agree with him. I was on with the D-Man last night on my television show, and... you know, when you think about the top 10 or 15 sluggers of all time, I don't think he comes up in everybody's mind. And then when you look at the numbers, you say, well, how did we miss that?
Well, because he's 10th all-time in home runs.
That's the one that got me. I was shocked.
There's the social value of which he added, obviously, Frank.
Right.
The way that he played, which Lyman and I, he stopped playing as a player. I think Lyman was just born, or no, this was before Lyman was born. I'm not making a joke there, Lyman. So we saw him as a manager, and because we did see him as a manager, then we would hear stories from you guys about how fiery as a player he is because he was fiery as a manager there. What did he bring to the clubhouse during his time in Cleveland?
Well, when he first came in August of 74, he was acquired as a DH from the California Angels. He brought a little unrest because you had the star of that team was Gaylord Perry, you know, Gaylord, a good old Southern boy. And you're bringing in Frank Robinson, and everybody pretty much knew that they weren't going to win a pennant in 74. That's not why they brought Robinson in. They brought him in to see what the team had and what it looked like and what it was going to have for the near future, because it was pretty obvious he was going to be the manager of that team. I didn't think, and I don't think a lot of people thought he was going to be the player manager. I thought he was just being brought in to basically retire as a player and go on and manage. Now, he and Gaylord had problems to the point where they had to be separated a couple of times, and Gaylord demanded that if he's going to stay in Cleveland, he had to make one more dollar than Frank Robinson.
Wow.
That player-manager thing is interesting to me, Les, because now a young fan would hear something like that, and outside of joking about maybe LeBron James being a player coach, they'd say that sounds ridiculous. Was it not ridiculous at the time?
No, there has been talk about that. And you look at Cleveland Indians history, you got Tris Speaker was a player-manager. They win in 1920. You got the Lou Boudreau, player-manager in 1948, and they win there. No, it wasn't outrageous at that time. And Ted Bonda, the president of the Indians, took a heck of a chance, and it was the right chance. It should have been done. It was long. You know, it was 28 years after Jackie Robinson that Frank Robinson was named as manager. That's a long time.
Les, do you think that Cleveland doesn't get enough credit for this because you have Larry Doby, who finally gets the tribute and gets the thanks? I think, what was it? What happened in the last year with it? Was it a stamp? Was it something? I forgive me, because this is what happens, because everybody else gets the credit for these things, and not Cleveland, but also then Frank Robinson.
Yeah, well, I mean, you think about Cleveland, you think about Carl Stokes, his first African-American mayor of a major city. You look at the Cavaliers with Wayne Embry and Lenny Wilkins, and you know, you can go down the list. I mean, color has never been a problem for the city of Cleveland or its sports teams, and I think you're right. It does get overlooked. If you take Cleveland out of the mix right now, if you had a similar show in some other city than you guys are having right now, and you'd say, what was the most progressive city as far as social action and politics and athletics. I'm not sure. If it was pointed out, what about Cleveland? They would agree, but I'm not sure it's the first one that comes to mind.
Not only that, but the Cleveland Browns, just a few years ago, I remember a story being written about the Cleveland Browns and the breakthroughs in the NFL, where obviously there had never been the effort made to have a GM of color, to have a head coach of color, and obviously a lot of the staffers that Hugh Jackson had brought in. It didn't work, but that doesn't mean that it still at that time wasn't a groundbreaking, you know, piece of work there. Les Levine joining us on the hotline. I couldn't believe this. When I see that his number, Frank Robinson, has been retired three different places and that he has a statue in three different places, is there anybody else like that in sports?
I'd have to think about it, but I doubt it.
I mean, maybe if LeBron James were to go on and win a championship with the Lakers, you'd have that opportunity. But that, to me, is mind-boggling that he could be held in such high esteem in three different cities. You just don't see that.
I'll tell you what, as a fan, Anthony and Ken, being at the game in 75 when he hit the home run was one of the most, you know, you talk about playoff games and World Series, and that's aside. But to think that he could do that in the first inning of the first game as a player manager and hit that home run batting in the second spot in the lineup, that just shouldn't happen.
All right, Les Levine joining us on the hotline. Of course, you can catch more sports than Les Levine now at Cleveland.com. Les, we had a fun discussion earlier in the week about Tom Brady, his greatness, whether he's considered the best all time, whether he's even the best quarterback of all time. And a lot of the older fans, they called up and said, what about Otto Graham? And when you look Otto Graham up, I had to pull up his Wikipedia because it's not like I watched him play. It says 7 championships. Les, he doesn't get that credit. Should he be given more credit for amassing 7 titles when that's all you're hearing right now is about Tom Brady and the 6 championships?
Yeah, and I heard Bull the other day, and he made a great argument for it, that it basically the AAFC was a minor league, and you can't compare the size of the players. You know, they were smaller players back in the 40s and the 50s. Nobody's comparing that. That's not what this is about. This is about championships. And not only did he win 7, he wins 4 in the AAFC and he wins 3 in the NFL. And you can imagine what that was like because they were laughing at the Cleveland team and everybody else. They come in and they play for the championship against Philadelphia in 1950 and they beat him. So they stuck it to him. Nobody's saying that Otto Graham could play today. That's not what this is all about. But Otto also played in 10 consecutive championship games because he had the 4 in the All-American Football Conference, and he continued the streak once he got in through 1954 in the NFL. But, yeah, he gets overlooked. Nobody's saying that he's better than Montana, that he's better than any of these guys, but he belongs in the conversation.
Les Levine joining us on the show. More sports than Les Levine on Cleveland.com. You'll also hear him here basically at least once a week, it seems. Most likely Les Levine with Baskin and Phelps here on 92.3 The Fan. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Les, the Indians, Baseball Prospectus put out their predictions of the Pecota, as they put out every year, and 96 wins for the tribe they have this year. Was that something that's surprising to you?
Well, it was so surprising I almost drove off the road.
I'm sorry.
I don't know where you get 96. I know they get it because of the starting pitching, and that's fine. But if you get a quality start into the sixth inning, you still have to turn it over to the bullpen, and that's certainly questionable. And if you can tell me how you're going to get productive numbers out of the outfielders, I don't know how you get 96 wins. I mean, if every team in baseball would want the rotation the Indians have and the pitching staff, but I don't know that anybody would want the middle relief or the outfield that they have. I think the loss of Michael Brantley was a bigger loss than they're making it out to be.
Well, that would tell me, and yes, I think it's easy to think that the rest of the division will be garbage, and I'd probably agree for the most part. So if they're going to get 96 wins, say it looks like that. One, and I think you're being very reasonable what it is, so I guess we haven't been that hard on them for some of the non-moves that they've made this year, the lack of moves that they've made this year. However, say if you're a 96-win baseball team by that standard, say that they get out to a hot start, does that mean because of the future and what we don't know about Francisco Lindor or Trevor Bauer or Corey Kluber, does that mean we as a fan base and us in the media need to put more heat on the Indians to make a move by the trade deadline, even though they might not have much, to do that to try to see if they can get over the hump and maybe win the whole thing?
Well, if they agree that it's 96 wins, they probably don't have to do anything, because I think 96 wins, you know, the East is going to be really strong and really spread out. And so I think 96 wins not only wins you the division easily, it also probably gives you a home field advantage in at least the first round and maybe the second. I don't see the Yankees, as great as the Yankees are, they still have to play the Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays are going to be pretty good today or this year. So I don't know how they all get 96 wins or more. So that'll be something to watch out for. But if you're the Indians and you think you can win 96, I think you wait till the trading deadline or a waiver deal in August. I don't know where they see 96 wins, but if they do, then I think we'll have some surprising good times this season down in downtown Cleveland.
Les, there's no doubt. I think it would almost be unanimous about which organization's been the best in this town over the last however many years. The Indians would come up every single time. Even if you're not happy with the Dolans over time, you'd still have to say the organization is world-class for what they've been able to do. With all of that said, do you feel like the public sentiment right now on this team is unfair, considering they should win the division again, they still should go to the playoffs, and they still should represent this city well?
You know what? It was you know, when you talk about Frank Robinson and the history of the Indians, to think that we kind of scoff at a division-winning title, I mean, that's kind of hard to believe. Like what, you didn't win enough? I think what happened is that they won it too easily. And there wasn't any exciting games or plays or winning streaks. They just played good enough to win by whatever 11, 12, 13 games, which is incredible that anybody in this town with this history would say that's not good enough. Now, what happened in the postseason was an embarrassment, but to get there, I still subscribe in baseball to just get there, and then if you want the favorite team on your side, go ahead, give me the field. I'll take my chances.
Les, we thank you very much for the time, my friend. All the very best. When are we going to see you again here on The Fan? At least in the studio, then they'll hear you on The Fan. You know how that works.
I have no idea. I drive by every day to see if there's an empty seat, and there hasn't been one for a while.
Are you okay, Les, with having a best man who also happens to be your father?
Oh, that's a good one.
I think he could have picked my father to be his best man.
Anybody else's father except his own?
I've never heard. I mean, occasionally you hear about that, but not in. No, you don't hear about that a lot.
Les, you could say you think it's weird, don't you?
I do think it's weird. No, wait a minute. He may have the greatest father in the world, or he couldn't find anybody. He didn't have any friends. Or maybe he had one, and his father was the stand-in. You know, he was like the stunt double. When I heard it, it was kind of a strange thing. And let me just add one other thing. I was at the press conference, and the introductory offensive coordinator was the first guy that I could remember that did not win the press conference.
He didn't win it at all. Wow. Not even close.
Wow.
No, I think all the things he said was terrific. I just think the presentation, it lacked the show business aspect of it. And the other guys got it.
All right, Les, that's an interesting thought on that. We thank you very much for the time, buddy. All the best.
Is that something I need to retract from the record? Or
no, you leave that on the record. You leave that on the record for everybody to see. Les, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. The great Les Levine. Find him on Cleveland.com. More sports
Thanks
than Les Levine.
For the call.
Why would he have to retract that? It's not like he said the Browns weren't tanking.
Or that Bo Jackson was the best player in NFL.
Okay, you know what? If it was any one of you guys around here, you probably would have walked out of the studio by now. Let me get to the Prefer. This is what we're referencing here. Mike Prefer, the special teams coordinator for the Cleveland Browns, was on the dais yesterday, and he was talking about his father, and he gave us this little nugget.
My dad has been a huge influence on me as a man, as a person, as a man, and as a football coach. And he was actually so much an influence that he was the best man at my wedding.
We have sat here and argued vehemently about tanking and about the Browns, and even talked about Frank Robinson, and we got people here who are like, nah, the dad is the best man is a little bit off. I am an only child. I had a great relationship with my father, and I told you, my own dad was like, you don't have any plans of doing that, do you? Like what? He goes, my place is in the pews.
Yes, I'll be over there watching from the seats along with all the other dads. That's where they're supposed to be.
216-578-0092. We got people in on this. We'll get to them when we come back about this. I can guarantee you that. 216-578-0092. Mary Kay Cabot at 825. First question asked is about this Kevin Zeitler business. And also, not just about your dad being your best man and how weird that is, but I noticed I was listening to Bud Shaw with you guys yesterday, and he wasn't too thrilled about the Indians and Browns comparison made. That coming up on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.